Our Good Three referred to this process as global pauperization, and Claudia von Verhoff calls it this process of everything gets worse and worse and worse. And in particular, the quality of our lives calls this, and we have, and these People Summit folk, Claudia von Verhoff and Our Good Three, we're talking about this 30 years ago. And it's not on their lips. It hasn't penetrated the official left over the airwaves discourse. And by discourse, I mean being discussed back and forth so that we can develop our thought. Claudia von Verhoff calls it housewifeification. You can listen to that discussion in an audio file. I'm going to quote briefly from, which is an excerpt of our August 30, 2015 show, Make Them Hunger. Because while Marx understood, as we have been discussing, that as the rate of profit falls, this system of continuous accumulation, in theory continuous accumulation, hits a roadblock, and it requires more than it's willing to put up on the table to keep us in jobs, and that's where we are at. He understood that. He missed the key aspect from which to view our dilemma of how to get free. That we must overcome in order to feel certain that we are done with the system. And so our critical strategic focus, our conditioned helplessness, and so our obedience. I mean, we have to talk about this, and that obviously was not on their lips either. Because it is not conditioned helplessness that is addressed by joining with other people in fruitless protest. So we need together to look at what is meant by that term. In what sense do we feel helpless? In what sense are we all trained to be obedient? How is that expressed? How do we see it all around us? How is it expressed in the official, in the words of the official pundits? How ensure that we cannot feed ourselves? I mean, is this not obvious? By controlling access to land, to food. The plan is so obvious, so basic. And I'm talking global. Always remember, the frame has to be global. So even if they change the legislation, a friend a while back told me that there's legislation on the books that says it's illegal to grow food in your front yard or backyard or both or one of the two. You know, but they don't enforce that. In fact, they're telling the children they're trying to con, yes, if you live in the West, start growing your own food. And it's part of the propaganda. Whereas, you know, the reality is, despite the fact that they put articles in the paper saying, see, in China, the state owns all the land. They are not free there. Here, you can have a little piece of land. But we need land enough to free all of us, not just our particular family. And that ain't freeing us if we are still in a totalitarian global system. So how ensure we can't feed ourselves? Control access to the land, to food. So the plan is so obvious, so basic. If it wasn't for power strategy of staying in hiding and controlling who gets on the airwaves, of wringing that last drop of wealth from the planet and us, and so controlling what gets funded, what thoughts get heard, what acts get done, and then pushing forward an alternative explanation, science, progress in left, right, and so-called value-free variations. We would have figured this out long ago. All the disciplines that train us in objectification and utilitarian ethics and mistrust of what our bodies tell us has perpetuated, done the work they were there to do for power, be the buffers. We don't have to delve too deep to discover why Prince made them lose sleep. The more we extremely abused are viewed as having little left to use, the more the question looms for power what to do with us. For though we, the earth, are the source of all wealth, their relations of rule or authority for power are far more important. In the present circumstances of resource depletion and massive poisoning of the planet, there is no economic, quote-unquote, i.e. class-bolstering means to address these things. We have to discuss this. No rank-reinforcing way of restoring the Earth's bounty and doing the cleanup. Only we, off-leash, with our bodies free, with the individual under conditions of non-coercion being the basic unit of political organization, can we accomplish it? Of course, their answer is to deepen the totalitarianism around us. Moreover, and we have to talk so much, we must actually meet face to face and talk about, we cannot let each other hunger, and I'm talking global, or our callousness structurally sown in us will destroy all hopes for our future in freedom. Beyond all this, the interstate system is simultaneously a critical ideological tool in power's realization of its death-servicing purposes, a critical ideological tool to use as a bludgeon, its point being to make things artificially complicated and us feeling inadequate to the challenge of managing our own lives, conditioned helplessness, and looking to the quote-unquote smart ones to address these challenges made by power, let's never forget. If we make things less complex, it's harder to control us, makes our interrelations transparent, and flattens hierarchical arrangements. Which is why we must do this. Embrace together our ethical base, discuss together the truth, the right story, and make our focus the reincorporation of all that's been stolen from us. Must we begin first by thinking of ourselves as nations? I'm putting this out as a question, as the way to begin loosening power's grasp on us. A British exit from the European Union, even if largely symbolic initially, is a shot across the bow of the global system, announcing a strategy of going around it. But this first step requires its follow-up if it's to reach the goal of those who voted for it, that follow-up being addressing our structurally enforced sense of helplessness by beginning to make our beliefs and our actions consonant, by embracing the logic or strategy of conscious decommissioning or decentralization of the global system, which we've also been calling distributed generation. And while certainly this is what the technology allows, and certainly this is the challenge we associated global humans representing for humanity overall in this moment face, representing for its continued existence. While certainly the need could not be more pressing, and certainly the tools we need, the technology, social media, are in our possession, we continue to hold back. Quote from our our Samuel, who understood this. I do not believe he was much more of a coward than his... Let me start over. I do not believe he was much more of a coward than his neighbors. Only he did not know that all sensible people are cowards when they're off their beat or when they think they're going to be roughly handled. I believe that if the truth were known, it would be found that even the valiant Saint Michael himself tried hard to shirk his famous combat with the dragon. He pretended not to see all sorts of misconduct on the dragon's part, shut his eyes to the eating up of I do not know how many hundreds of men, women, and children whom he had promised to protect, allowed himself to be publicly insulted a dozen times over without resenting it. And in the end, when even an angel could stand it no longer, he shilly-shallied and temporized an unconscionable time before he would fix the day and hour for the encounter. And that's from The Way of All Flesh by Samuel Butler. The first step is seeing what we must do. Global general strike, so that we can plan the world we want, in which we contribute our gifts without coercion. The first step is seeing what we must do. The next, as Prince said in 1999, prepare to fight. It cannot be emphasized enough, and we certainly have been stressing it here, that we all want this, all we 7 billion, with our lives directed to serve ends that we have not determined. So we must begin by returning to these two statements we left on the table last week to discuss. We have been intentionally hurt, and yet we submit to it. The entire puzzle in which we're trapped is compacted in those two statements. We can only see the path to a world based in non-coercion and cooperation, mutual aid in freedom, when we want our bodies to live in it because we love them. But once we start down that path, new possibilities present. As Thoreau said, our creativity blossoms with our love and joined with others. Our strategy is infectious and unbounded.